Welcome to The Other Side of the Plate, brought to you by Feast, families empowered and supporting treatment of eating disorders. This podcast is for moms, dads, and caregivers searching for answers, the kind that can feel so hard to find when your loved one has an eating disorder. I'm Jenny, and along with my co-host Laura, we're here as caregivers with lived experience who supported our loved ones through an eating disorder. Together, we'll share personal insights, connect you with professionals, and point you toward helpful resources. And as we say at Feast, we're here because we've been there. The content contained in this podcast is not a substitute for professional or medical treatment, and it may not represent the views and beliefs of Feast. Always consult a medical professional for medical advice and treatment recommendations.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Other Side of the Plate podcast. I'm Laura Cohen, and with me is my co-host, Jenny Gaines.
Hi. Today, we're going to be talking about a really good topic that all of us will have to manage, and it is navigating the holidays when a loved one is dealing with an eating disorder.
So I'm going to really acknowledge right now the emotional complexity as holidays. When you think of holidays, they're meant to be joyful. But for families impacted by eating disorders, I think that there's always this, you know, holiday dichotomy here, but they can also be stressful and as well as triggering.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Laura. Holidays are already stressful. I think they're so busy and there's so many activities and so many expectations, but then you add an eating disorder to it and it becomes even more complicated. The good news is there are concrete and actionable steps that you can take to support your loved one and yourself during the holiday season. And that's what we're here to talk about.
Yes. So let's get started. Let's jump right into it. And let's talk about some of the challenges of the holidays. And some of these you all may have thought of. Some of them you may be like, oof, never thought about that one. So that's really the purpose of this, is to set this up so we're letting you all know what to look out for so you can plan ahead. So holidays are centered around meals, sweets, indulgence. You know, there's definitely a social and cultural emphasis on food. And this in and of itself can be triggering. And then you add in family dynamics. And, you know, we can't control what other people do. And we 100% cannot control our relatives who may comment on food, body image. And often it's unintentionally. Often they don't realize what they're doing in their everyday vernacular, as well as during the holidays. This gets heightened so much more. Other things is there's disruptions to your routine. You may be traveling, schedule changes, and different environments can heighten stress. You know, if you're going through right now, you know, refeeding your loved one and you're in this set schedule and it's working out for you, and then all of a sudden you've got a holiday and meal times are different, and you've got different people coming into your house or travel, that is all going to just give such disruptions to your routine. And oh, my favorite one, as the holidays, you know, you kind of get towards the new year, then you start to see the new year, new you messaging. And that societal pressure around weight, dieting, and self-improvement can also intensify anxiety.
Definitely. And listening to you talk about all the challenges of the holidays, that reminds me that at the very beginning of our journey with my daughter, because of the social and cultural emphasis on food and everything about food during the holidays, and because of the family dynamics that I knew would be there, and because of the disruptions to the routine when we were just settling into the three meals and three snacks a day and doing really well, we chose to spend our holiday season at home with just us, our family, myself, my husband, and our three kids. And we explained to everyone else that we weren't going to be traveling to see them that year. So I think it's really going to depend on you, your family, your situation, where you are in the whole treatment and recovery process about how you're going to do it. And one thing that can be extremely helpful is preparing ahead of time for all of this. anticipating what is it going to be like, what is it going to look like, and how can I make this a better experience for all of us involved. If you have a treatment team, talking to your treatment providers about how do we manage the holidays can be a really, really helpful way to get prepared in advance. You can anticipate what could some of the setbacks be, what could some of the obstacles be. You can even, depending on where your loved one is in their recovery process, ask them what would make you feel more supported or the most supported during the holidays. You can collaborate with the treatment team if your child is under 18. You can coordinate with your loved one if they're an adult and ask them how you can support them. So making a plan together. So does your loved one want to sit next to you during the holiday meal, for example? If someone at the holiday table makes a comment about something that's triggering, how do you want to handle that? So planning it in advance and having those ideas in mind ahead of time will make it so much easier. Even if you have to practice them a few times, rehearse what you're going to say when someone says the wrong thing, and then you're more prepared and it takes some of the stress down. And then planning your meals and maintaining routines. I know for me, once we got going with the refeeding, I definitely didn't want to mess that up because it was so hard to get to the point where she was eating enough to gain the weight that she needed to gain. And so maintaining the routine as much as possible, especially on special holidays. A lot of times families will plan for a big meal like in the middle of the day instead of eating the three meals a day that they might normally eat. And, making sure that those three meals and three snacks still get in there, even if you're going to go to your relative's house and eat the big meal at 2 o'clock, how can you make sure that your loved one is getting something every 2 to 3 hours, even with that holiday meal in place? And then, if you are going to be traveling, just be really prepared that if you're having to stop and eat out or something, just in case that's not anything that your loved one is going to eat, you have snacks, you have extra food, you're ready with everything while you're traveling. And then it's a really good idea also to establish something to do after the big meal if the big meal is part of your holiday. For example, if purging is an issue for your loved one, having some way to make sure that there's supervision there for about an hour at least after the meal. Also, if it's just really, really stressful still for your loved one to eat, and after the meal they're going to be having a lot of anxiety, that can sometimes be one of the most distressing times for someone in eating disorder recovery. So, establishing something like taking a walk when we're at this holiday meal, let's just make sure and plan on taking a walk right after, a little, just a slow walk outside, or listening to music, maybe playing a family game or something like that. And then, if the meal times are still really, really hard for your loved one, being prepared with a distraction list, ideas to use when there's resistance to eating or urges after eating to compulsively exercise or purge. If you're still in the time of the refeeding where you need those distractions, then just making sure that you have them with you for the holiday meal. If you're at a relative's house or something, that can be really, really helpful.
Yeah, 100%. Agree with all of that. Check, endorsed. One big thing that I know I used to talk to families about all the time, and I had to do one when my daughter was in recovery, was navigating conversations, because they're challenging. As I said earlier, we cannot control what anyone else says, does. We can only control our reactions to it. And when someone has an eating disorder, their reactions are so much more heightened. And it's really, really tricky. Sometimes we talk about, and this isn't, I don't think we were going to get into this today, but do you disclose to your family or friends, right, about your loved one's eating disorder? I think we did have an episode about that, though. I think it was one of our first ones, wasn't it, Jenny? So go back to
Episode
episode
three.
three for that conversation about disclosing it to families and friends, because that's a really, really important topic when you talk about navigating conversations. Because if you're choosing to not tell your family and friends, it's harder to tell them what to say and not say, or at least it's not as impactful And even if you tell them, sometimes they aren't great at it anyway, but at least they have, they know why they're doing it. So you really want to, and I tell families all the time, have that conversation with the people that are going to be at the table. Let them know that, we really need to avoid any conversations about food and body conversations, body comparisons conversations. Oh my gosh, this is fattening. Oh, I need to go run after this. I need to go do the turkey trot, whatever those things are. Really making a point, and those are normal conversations, unfortunately, that happen over the holidays. Really making that point to say, can we not do that this year? Really ever, but definitely not this year. And you may have to rehearse that. You may have to rehearse those responses with your family members, showing how we may just change that subject, and have our kiddos who are in recovery know how to do that, or we will do it for them. I tell you, the one group that are really challenging is our elder population. Grandparents are tricky. They don't get it. Even if you try to explain it, they don't always get it. And it's really, really hard. So sometimes, I would even say to my daughter, Poppy's going to say this, and we're not going to be able to change it. This is our beliefs. We know what our beliefs are, and I can't control grandma saying this. Or, in some cultures, they really are much more body focused. So you can try really hard to not have someone make those comments, but sometimes it's going to happen. So really letting your loved one know that this just may happen, and what are we going to do about it? That we're going to support you through it. Modeling neutral language. So if you start hearing people talk about good and bad food, like, oh, I'm going to have that really decadent dessert, or that shameful, whatever word they're using, this is going to be really bad for me. I'm going to cheat today. Really trying to, we don't talk that way at our table, right? Negative body commentary, guilt-based language, like I just said, like cheating at cheat day is the big one, or this is a cheat food for me. Or I'm gonna let myself go during the holidays. Any of those type of conversations you want to really try to avoid. Definitely have been in one too many of those situations with our family. Even when I tell them and they understand, the comments still come out. I can give them the evil eye, like, did you not just say that? And I just had to really work with my daughter and be like, it's gonna happen. It's going to happen. What about you, Jenny? Any situations that you can think of that happened?
Oh, definitely. There were certain family members that I knew they would, not on purpose, but just say things mostly referring to themselves, like, I'm full, I overate, I'm going to need to work out extra at the gym. And speaking of rehearsing responses, like you were just talking about, like for me, I always had these intentions. I'm going to say something really thoughtful when they say a triggering remark. In the moment, I got a, you get a little bit emotional. You get to where you kind of want to jump on them. Like, I already told you not to say this. I already said we weren't going to have any talk of food or body at the table this season. And you're already falling back into it. So I just would say something like, let's change the subject. Like, I could remember that. It's just the most basic thing that you can say, even if you find yourself saying it multiple times in the same conversation. During the same meal, let's change the subject, as matter-of-factly as possible, and hopefully they'll get it and move on. And like you said, preparing your loved one for the inevitable fact that it's probably going to happen.
Yeah. I have a family member who's been staying with me a lot recently, and he's older. And I never knew this about him, but he makes a lot of comments about, oh, if I've been eating so much here, I'm not used to eating three meals a day. When I go back home, I'm going to have to diet. And Jenny, I literally looked at him and I said, we don't talk about dieting in our house. And he was like, he knows everything, like everything. He's like, why? And I go, A, because I don't want to talk about that. And B, we live in a recovery focused. I mean, he knows everything. And he just looked at me and he goes, I don't understand why those correlate together. Just to show people really, I literally said to him, we don't do that. We don't talk about that. And he just was like, but what does one thing have to do with the other? So, yeah. So don't think people understand because they don't. You may just have to have those uncomfortable conversations. In this situation, I'm not changing him. He's 88 years old.
Definitely. Wow. Yeah, that's a really good example of why we need to remind them repeatedly and just keep going, keep moving forward. Another way that you can plan to have your holidays be less stressful when there's an eating disorder is to set some boundaries and maybe have some escape plans, quote, escape plans in place. So, this is something that we did even within our own family. My daughter was very new with refeeding, and I was considering the entire family at the holiday meal. And so, I came up with a way ahead of time for her to let me know that she just could not eat. It was too stressful for her, and she needed to leave to go eat her food. So we talked in advance that if it got too hard and she didn't really want to put her siblings through the whole everything, that I would notice and say, I need some help in the kitchen. I can't remember. I just said, do you want to come help me in the kitchen? And if she said yes, that meant she needed an exit. And if she said, I'm okay, then we could keep going. But that was kind of like our code word or signal or code sentence question to let her know, let's go and eat just me and you somewhere so that you can get through this meal. Because she knew she had to. Holiday food was harder for her than what we were eating every other day. And it was just a heightened distress situation for the entire family. And because I knew it was going to be hard, we scheduled some pre and post event stress reducing activities, which I think, depending on you and your family situation and what you like to do, that you can build this in. It could be something like some quiet time with music or something before you eat, and then a walk like we talked about earlier after you eat. What something that we did is that we had a 1,000-piece puzzle. My daughter really,
I
really
say
likes
puzzles.
puzzles. Did you
Yeah.
do puzzles too?
Yeah, puzzles are.
Yeah, she absolutely loves puzzles, and the more challenging, the better. So we had already and started one ahead of the holiday season, and that was a really good place to go before something holiday was going to happen, and then after she got through one of her meals, and then the whole family could join in, and it was just a really helpful way to diffuse what could be a really stressful situation. That's really what helped us. And then also, there's so much stress with family members and friends and all of your normal holiday obligations. And you kind of have this pull toward let's keep the holidays as much the same as we can. I want it to be the same traditions, the same experiences, do the same things. And what I learned through my experience was I really needed to put a lot of that on hold, including my own expectations. And I needed to prioritize my daughter's recovery over everyone else and over everything else. So if it was going to make people uncomfortable that I wasn't going to go visit them during the holidays, that was okay. I let that be okay so that we could focus on what we needed to do, even if people said things, even if people didn't understand. And during, probably the first couple of years of my daughter's treatment and recovery, I did very few holiday events that I used to do, like parties and gatherings, and traditions, just kind of stepped aside. And I knew it was temporary. And giving myself permission to do that without the guilt, I think really helped me focus on my daughter and getting through that time.
Yeah, I always say to families, this is for now. It's not forever. It feels like it's forever, but it's literally for just now. So,
Exactly.
yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember one thing, someone once said to me, and it's so true, is that in every religion or every, I'm gonna say religion slash culture, more religion, I guess it would be, there's some type of holiday that incorporates fasting or some type of food restriction. And what do you do about those? You can have Ramadan, you can have Yom Kippur. We were talking about Lent. Lent, you're giving something up. So these all get really tricky with someone with an eating disorder or someone in recovery. So really know that fasting is not good for you. Speak with your religious leader, and let them know. I only know my own situation. And it's actually, you're not supposed to fast in the Jewish religion for the holidays if you have a medical condition. So I know in other religions you could do the same thing. So speak to your religious leader to get that feedback, because it's also a way for the eating disorder to get sneaky. So maybe like, oh, I need to do this because, I need to fast. All of a sudden, they're very religious. Like, I need to fast. And you're like, is that the eating disorder? So really, really make sure to have those conversations, because it's actually a better thing to not do the fast. And we know for the eating disorder, but also even for the religion. So definitely speaking with your religious leader there. We also want to think about, I know Jenny started to talk about this, is creating new traditions. So if you really think about holidays, culturally, kind of we've been talking about so much is around food, right? Like Jenny was talking about, different things that she may not do. Like I know a lot of families may do cookie swaps or just different things like that. And they're things that maybe you look forward to every year. And you know what? There are things that you can do that aren't related to food, like create some new traditions. Right. Like I know of a family friend, we were just invited over the holidays to a family friend, and they said they watch a particular movie, at that holiday. Right. Like you could start something like that, like focus on a movie or go out and see the Christmas lights or whatever, whatever it is. Go out and see some holiday lights, driving around looking at decorations. Like that could be something to do that's not around food. The puzzles, or you could do like, I don't know, think of a game that you guys can all play. But that's not based around food, and these can be new traditions, and these could also help bring your loved one into something without having to accommodate them. It's got to be exhausting when someone's accommodated all the time. So if you do something that has nothing to do with food and bringing some joy into the holiday and the togetherness, that's so special. And ask your loved one, like have them come up with the ideas with you. Maybe you have like some type of arts and crafts project that you're going to do, or a competition you're going to do with something, but I'm thinking arts and crafts. Don't think about, I mean, do think about acknowledging yourself during the holidays. As I said in our intro, like holidays are joyful and they're stressful. So they're stressful on a regular year, with all the dynamics that happen. And sometimes holidays are really, really hard times when you don't have family. If they remind you of missing family or missing things that aren't the same anymore, holidays can be really hard. And then you put the eating disorder on top of it. So really trying to give yourself that self-care and that space is going to be really essential. Always being flexible. Being flexible is, I wish you could just get that tattooed somewhere to remind you, just being flexible. Despite all the preparations, challenges still may arise. You may not even think about it. It may be something that comes up that you did not anticipate. One thing that just came to my mind that I wanted to bring up, which again, this could be a challenge or it could be a known challenge, is you may be having a holiday with your extended family, and maybe your kiddo's cousin also has an eating disorder. Maybe that family's not getting treatment for their daughter's eating disorder, even though it could be clear as day that this child is struggling. And that's really challenging because eating disorders very much do that whole comparison game. And I've worked with families so many times that are like, well, we're gonna have a hard time on this family trip because, or it could just be that, this particular family member, the way she looks in a bathing suit naturally, really triggers my child. Or they could just be someone that diets a lot, right? Or that has an eating disorder. And just talking about that beforehand, you're not going to be able to change another family member if they've, got a challenging behavior, but acknowledge that you're getting, to your loved one, you're getting the treatment, you're getting the help. It makes sense that that's really going to be triggering for you, because that I've heard that situation come up multiple times. Also, not forgetting the siblings. This is where sometimes it gets hard because everything winds up being around the person in recovery. Naturally, they're getting all the attention, but also thinking about the siblings that are being impacted. So you don't want to take everything or stop everything. And also letting them know the same thing, like I just said, that this is just for right now, this isn't forever. And maybe they can go have some special time during the holidays as well. Modifying rituals, I kind of just talked about that. If your holidays include faith-based rituals like fasting, talking with your loved one's team about that and your religious leader to come up with some modifications for that.
Yeah, I love that you reminded everyone about this just being temporary because I think for me, heading into that first holiday season, I was really wanting everything to be the same as it has always been. I wanted my daughter to enjoy all the things that she had always enjoyed, and I could clearly see that wasn't going to happen. And I think looking back on it, if I had just been able to accept that this is temporary, so this holiday season isn't going to look like it usually does, but that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be some meaningful moments sprinkled in there and that I actually had some agency there. Like, how could I create some meaning that was different than it usually is, that was new, that didn't have to do with the food traditions, that didn't have to do with some of the holiday events that we normally attended or participated in? And I think if anyone right now is about to go into a holiday season, that just giving themselves grace on what their holidays might look like. Maybe they're not going to decorate this year. Maybe they're not going to have the holiday party that they usually throw for everyone in their community. Maybe they're going to say no to all the invitations. Maybe they're going to have to tell their mom, no, we're not coming this year. We're not going to be able to make it. But just giving yourself kind of that permission for it to be different and then allowing for there to still be some joy somewhere, even if you have to create it in a really unique way. Wow, we talked about a lot today, and it's going to be different for every single family, just like it is with every other topic that we talk about. But hopefully, some of this was helpful. I'll just recap some of the things that we suggested. First of all, listening, validating, and supporting your loved one through this, through the holidays, and even asking them, how can I help? Sometimes asking them and including them can be one of the most powerful tools you can use. Also, encouraging collaboration with your loved one if they're an adult, and/or their treatment team in advance, doing everything you can to anticipate what could happen and planning ahead of time, planning the meals, planning how to respond in conversations when people say things that are things you already asked them not to say, as Laura said, even if you've told them multiple times. And then just keeping the routines, making sure you're still meeting all of the requirements of their meal plan, even if the holiday schedule is different than the everyday schedule. Have some distractions and some grounding techniques ready and available. I think my favorite go-to grounding for myself and my daughter, when emotions ran high, was just walking outside. I remember when my babies were little and they were crying, and I tried all the things and it didn't work. For whatever reason, if I just took a step outside the door into nature, they automatically calmed down. And so I mean, that's something I used then for emotions that I couldn't really regulate. And then I used it a lot when, especially if you don't have anything with you, or you don't want to, do a grounding exercise right in front of everyone. You can just leave and step outside for a few minutes and see what you can see, smell, hear. And that can really, really help. And also, what Laura reminded everyone of is taking care of yourself during the holidays. A little self-care can go a long way toward protecting your well-being so that you can keep going after the holidays and you can keep being there to support your loved one. And so I think overall, just remembering holidays, even without the eating disorder, can be a lot. With the eating disorder, they can be even trickier, but with preparation and advanced planning, They can also still be wonderful memories that you build with your family. And it can give you something to look forward to, knowing that this is temporary and we will be able to do all of the things in the future and celebrate in all the ways that we used to celebrate if we really prioritize recovery today.
Yeah, that's all so important. There was one thing we forgot to talk about that came to me after she just summed that up so beautifully. I'm gonna pop one more thing in there, is outfits, holiday outfits and getting dressed. I know for us, my daughter, that would usually spark everything off, would be she would have to go get dressed for dinner or going out or whatever. And it was just the crying that it couldn't find anything. And that would just set off the whole tone. So if you could try to figure that out before the moment they have to get dressed, that would, because listen, clothes fit differently and they're very self-conscious. So it's a combination of both of those things. And you know, getting, because our holiday clothes are not, you know, necessarily our sweatpants that we're wearing all the time, right? So, and also, it would be awesome if you have a holiday that you can wear sweatpants, right? So even if it's like at your house, like maybe make it more casual. And we can't always control that. But definitely if you can't control it, thinking about having that discussion beforehand, maybe you're gonna have to go get, you know, a stretchy skirt or something that is going to feel more comfortable on your loved one going through treatment. So going through recovery. Just we didn't think about that one until you were talking. So,
No, that's a very good point. And then also just maybe allowing some extra time if you anticipate that getting dressed and leaving, there may be some distress there that can cause stress for everyone in the family, depending on how extreme it gets. And maybe having multiple backups, the stretchy skirt, maybe,
backups for
saying,
backups.
yes, and allowing that extra time so that if you needed to be somewhere at a certain time and she really or he really wanted to go, that it's not going to make everyone unable to go. So I think that's, yeah, I mean, it's so hard to plan every single thing in advance, but you're right, Laura, that's something we left out and something I know was an issue for us for sure.
It could
So
even be hair. I mean, the whole thing. Like, it's the
the
whole
whole
thing
thing.
unravels once it starts. So, yeah.
And then also, I mean, now that we're talking about this, being okay with some things not going
Totally.
the way that you hoped they would go and not making that a failure on anyone's part. It's no one's fault. The eating disorder interfered. We had countless memories, not even around holidays, but just around important events that definitely didn't go the way we had hoped they would go. And at a certain point, you just have to let go of those and say, the most important thing is that we, get into recovery, that we make sure she's okay, and we missed out on this occasion, but it's okay. So I think just accepting that.
Yeah, definitely. So remember, this holiday season, your support matters more than ever. Really take it one meal, one bite, one conversation, and one moment at a time. And our next episode, we are going to have a conversation with a dear friend of mine who is a male caregiver who is going to share his perspective of the role of how male caregivers can help in eating disorder recovery, because it's a lot of things that we don't think about. You know, a lot of things are always focused to the moms and the women. And let me tell you something, dads, male caregivers, they make a huge difference. So I'm really excited for Kevin Dunn to come speak with us in our next episode.
I am too. I cannot wait to talk to Kevin.
Thank you for joining us at the other side of the plate. If today's episode gave you hope or guidance, we invite you to explore more resources and peer support at feast-ed.org. Remember, you are never alone. For more conversations of hope and help for families facing eating disorders, please join us for our next episode.